We have a little bulletin insert that you can find, take out. It has the heading at the top, Tapping into Bliss. It's got the hymn, our final hymn, on the inside of that. And you can check out these passages. As we'll hear in our message this morning, we're going to touch on all of these passages in one way or another, but our focus is really on the very short, sweet, and potent passage of the very first verse of the 23rd Psalm that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." May God bless our hearing and our living of this word of abundant love and gratitude and life. Amen. Well, I have two stories for you this morning, and the first one is a bit unusual, which I guess all good stories are, and so here it goes. As they say, it goes something like this. So, a while back, I was invited to be a guest at an amazing dinner party, and part of the evening included tasting a bottle of wine that not long before that evening, three bottles just like it had sold at an auction for $1.2 million. It was really good wine. In full disclosure, the auction had been to raise money for charity, so it may have been more than a bit more than market value. But let's just say it was really good wine. So there were about a dozen or so of us at dinner. Each of us had a glass, and because there were that many people, each glass was filled to maybe about 3/4 of an inch or so, so there was enough to go around. In my mind, I started doing some math. You know, my head is churning, and I'm trying to wrap my mind around the fact that each glass is worth about the value of a brand new car. Yeah. But anyway, I have never seen such a group of such sophisticated people handle anything with such reverence and drink a glass of wine ever so slowly with such deep appreciation for every single drop. It's like you didn't even want to swallow. You just wanted to leave it in your mouth for as long as you possibly could. And we were all exquisitely overwhelmed. So one of the things you're always wondering, I'm sure, is, was it good? Well, I got to tell you, I still remember every drop. I do. It was the best wine, I've got to say, that I've ever had. But the good news and the bad news with something like that, of course, is that, you know, this is not the kind of experience that you can repeat again. So what do? You go, wow, this is absolutely amazing, incredible. Thank you very much. And you appreciate it for what it is. Amazing experience, which leads me to story number two. And this is something that happened back in 1980. I was 22 years old. I did my first cross-country bike trip. Laura and I together did our second a couple of years ago. And one day during this trip, it was late in July. We were in Kansas at this point. It was a day of a 110-mile ride, longer than usual. We're all fully loaded. And it was really hot. It was 104 degrees that day for a 110-mile ride. And in Kansas, there's no shade, nothing. So because it was so hot, about 70 to 80 miles into it, I had gone through all my water. And it was about 120 ounces to start out with. And being in Kansas, a lot of times, you know, you can go for 50 miles or so, and there's no town, there are no stores, and there were none left for the rest of the day. And so there I was. And I was thirsty. I was parched. And then as I'm riding, you know, when you're there and you're riding or you're driving, you can see, it seems like you can see forever. You can see about 6 miles in front of you. And I think that I see way down the road, it's like, is that like a little group of trees in the middle of all these fields and the road? And I keep riding and coming closer and see, well, actually, you know what? When I come closer, it is. There's a group of about 3 trees. Shade. Thank you, God. So I pulled off into that shade, and then I found out why there were trees there. Why were there trees there?
Water.
Water. And I get there, and my God, there is a natural spring, and it is amazingly cold and clear and crisp and delicious. Have you ever heard the term sweet water? Oh my God. Let me tell you, 40 years later, I can taste that water. Best thing ever. So I drank, and I drank this water. And where I was once parched, now I was as fulfilled as any person could possibly be in their lives, satiated, in bliss. It was heaven. And then, in the shade of those trees, I fell asleep. Laid down, and I was out like a light. A little while later, I woke up, and about 4 feet from me, looking at me, was a rattlesnake. I never moved so quickly and slowly at the same time, which is something that you learn instantaneously if that ever happens to you, and kind of as quickly and slowly, I was out of there. But that water, it was worth it. It was worth it. Incredible wine. Incredible water. I thought a lot about these two things. And I thought, you know, it's interesting. Could I honestly say that like a $30,000 glass of wine was better than that water? Or was that spring water better than the wine? And I think that you know the answer to that. Because, of course, they're both awesome. They're just different. One may be a little more accessible than the other one. Different experiences. Exquisite, satisfying, heavenly bliss. It makes me think about savoring and gratitude. And what do we value and what do we miss? Maybe take for granted. It makes me think about how we trick ourselves often into thinking that some things are better than others and that we may not always value some other things in life as being exquisite because our appreciation gets misdirected and obscured in a lot of different ways by our culture. It gets obscured and misdirected because some things don't have a price tag. And we're told that some things are very valuable. Well, we can cast off other things that are not rare. Why don't some things have a price tag? Why are they readily available to all? Because they're God's gifts. Water. Air. Sunset. Sunrise. Warmth. A new day. Another chance. A hand to hold. Love. Relationships. Kindness. A blue sky. Clouds that make rain. Our ability to walk. Our ability to hear the world around us. Our ability to remember, to have memories. And what's the value of any one of these things, much less all of these things? And how much do we think about them until they're gone? Or we feel them slipping away? And then they become rare. Then they become out of reach. Then, once we no longer can have it, then we value these things tremendously. So, there's wine and there's water. And we realize that the point of our faith, the Lord is my shepherd. How our shepherd leads us, what our shepherd leads us to is to have some foresight to not have to lose things in order to understand their true value. To be able to be fully satiated, fulfilled with full awareness of our lives, of the genuine value of things, before we lose them. To not get caught asleep at the wheel until it's too late. So our shepherd leads us to the place of I shall not want. Not because we have to, but because we get to. Because we can get so enamored with things that we can't have and be missing the incredible wealth of all these things that are right under our very nose and all around us. So our shepherd leads us to those things that are right there, to the green pastures, to the still waters, and restores our soul. When we consider not just the amazing gifts of those blow-away things, our Thanksgiving tables that are just going to be overloaded and overflowing with abundance, and things like great wine and just crazy technology in our world that we're thankful for, and our great accomplishments and achievements and big opportunities and big blessings. But as Jesus reminds us, he says, consider the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. Consider our environment. Before clean air and clean water are gone. Because what good is it, Jesus says, if we have the whole world? We've got all the stuff that we want, but we've lost our soul. What do we benefit if we gain the whole world, all the stuff? but we've never really valued it until it's gone. So what's the opposite of I shall not want, which is really a state of fulfillment, completeness, not wanting? No thanks, I'm just absolutely fine. The opposite of that. Longing for things on the one hand that you don't have, and reminding yourself, telling yourself again and again what you lack, what I don't have, looking around at all the people have the stuff that I don't, and feeling not enough. Even though God created you and calls you good. On the other hand, the opposite of I shall not want, of the state of being, of fulfillment, is ignoring what you do have. Ignoring God's gifts when we have legs. But we might not fully appreciate them until we can no longer walk. We might not think it's such a big deal until maybe we see or talk to the vet who's lost his legs in battle and is fighting every moment with prosthetics just to take some steps. We might have eyes to see, and that's not such a big deal until our eyesight starts to go. And then, boy, oh boy, what would we do just to see clearly one more day, one more time? True with our memory as well. Till we start to feel that flicker, maybe go away. Our ability to hear. And God forbid our loved ones. So, Thanksgiving is never a should. Please never say, I should be thankful. It's never a should. But what it is, if you get it, is a secret to your bliss. So this Thanksgiving, and for the rest of our lives, may we get it. May we not forget, I shall not want. May God restore our soul with gratitude. And God bless you. Amen.
God of all history, we come to you in this day and in this moment recognizing all that has come before us. From the time of our Native Americans who lived off this land, loving and honoring the Mother Earth and all of creation, to the time of the movement of the European culture to this land, who came with hope for a new land, a new start, a new life, a new religion, a better way for their children. To the time of the War of Independence, with a vision for a free land, a plan for freedom for all, with a plan for life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Through just this short time of history of our country, so many sacrifices have been made to create a better way of life. And so as we continue on this journey of time into the future, help us to always remain mindful of your calling for us. Help us to stop and to listen to the land, to hear the messages of hope in the wind, the messages of love in the singing of a bird. Help us to pause so we can feel the strength of the spirit of the land, from the strength of the rushing waterfall to the power and the majesty of the mountains. And help us to slow down. To slow down so that we can experience the prayer that comes with a sunset. and can smell and see the cleansing nature of the rain and the splendor of the storms around us. And help us to just stop. To just stop every once in a while and pay attention to your messages of love for us. Messages of love that come in the outstretched hand of a child, or in the friendly smile of a neighbor, or in the hug from a family member, or in the wisdom from our elders. Help us to stop and see how we can help make change in the future of our world. How we can help poverty and prejudice and violence and war be replaced by generosity and tolerance and nonviolence and peace. And as we pray for the greater needs of the world, we also ask you, God, to hear our prayers for our own church family. Watch over all those who are traveling this week. They may arrive safely. Watch over those who are hospitalized and undergoing surgeries, for those who are in prison, for those who are serving in the armed forces, or simply for those who can't get home this Thanksgiving and might be missing that experience. We pray for your loving spirit and our loving spirit to surround them and to nourish them wherever they are. And as there will be empty places at our Thanksgiving tables this week due to the deaths of family or maybe friends that we love, may we be comforted to know that though gone from our homes and our lives, they are at home with you and they are forever in our hearts. Be with us now, God, as we just stop to take a deep breath and to welcome your spirit, and to offer you these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.